Good morning and welcome to our service. Today and next Sunday our worship is being led by Stuart Finlayson. Stuart's a member of Dyke and Edenkille Church and currently training for the Church of Scotland ministry. We've met Stuart before, some of you will recall that he took our Christmas service back in 2018. Today Stuart's carrying on the series For the Love of the Three Women, which David Sim introduced us to last week. Looking further ahead, we're very pleased that Ian Murray will be taking our services throughout October. Our thanks for his willingness once again to help us out. The first Sunday in October, we're going to be having a communion service. You'll need to have your own bread and wine prepared for this. We have our regular events throughout the coming week. The lockdown chat after this morning's service at 11:45, and then our midweek chat on Wednesday evening. Details of today's chat will be on screen as usual at the end of the service. Wednesday's details will be emailed. These chats have been a valuable way of keeping in touch. Please do join us if you're free to do so. The most important midweek event, though, is our 1 o'clock prayer slot on Wednesday. Let's all try and remember to take a few minutes then to ask for God's guidance for the future of our church.
Good morning, and welcome to the Sunday service at St Andrew's Lumbride in Urquhart Parish Church. My name is Stuart, and it's my pleasure to lead you in worship today. Last week, the service was led by my good friend and colleague, David Sim. David and I have chosen to share a series over a 3-week period, which we have called For the Love of Three Women. Last week, David spoke to us about the sacrificial love displayed by the New Testament's third best-known Mary, Mary of Bethany. And today, I'm going to speak about another kind of love, and that love is a gracious love. Now, that's something that Jesus knows all about, but yet there is another, perhaps less well-known woman who also lived a life of gracious love. Her name was Joanna. So come as we seek to learn about Joanna and her way of loving, and I pray the Holy Spirit speaks clearly to us all. But first, hear the call to worship, which today comes from Revelation chapter 1, verse 4. We come timidly weighed down by the excesses and the sorrows of the past. We come hopefully that the presence of God will not be limited by our human constructs. We come thankfully, discovering abundance, born not of possession, but of heart. Grace to you and peace from the God who is and who was and who is to come. Let's worship now through music and join in the praises of the crowds of believers who came before us. The family of God singing a song written in 1973 by Richard Gaillard of Auckland, a school teacher, musician, and warehouseman. A man of many callings, and one that served his community in many ways, but strove to share the love of Christ in his music and in song. So number 694 from the hymn book, Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You.
Sister, let me serve you, let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant too. Oh,
Let's pray together. Loving Father, as we come now to gather at your feet and at your cross, we pray and give you thanks for the worship we are about to be part of. We thank you that although we cannot join in large numbers to worship you and share fellowship, we can still direct our thoughts and our prayers towards you in less traditional but equally exciting ways. Lord, we pray that you would touch the hearts of many today, filling them with encouragement and with hope. Give those listening today the ears to hear your voice in amongst all the confusion and doubt. We pray that difficult days would be made bright again, and you would reveal to us the goodness and the love and the sacrifice made by your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God, we praise you. Father, we are sorry that we can forget about you and not put you at the front of our minds as we go about our daily lives. We're sorry that we put other worldly pleasures before you and so often spend much time trying to store up for ourselves riches on earth when we should be concentrating on the riches of heaven. We are sorry that we can sometimes neglect to spend sufficient time alone with you in prayer and in reading the scriptures. Life is fast and it's busy, but this is no excuse when everything we need in terms of spiritual learning and to know you is plain for us to see. We're sorry that we are full of pride and self-certainty, and we acknowledge that so often we think that we can be the perfecters of our own lives. So Father, please help us to remember that we cannot do any of this on our own, and we are wholly dependent on the grace and the love which you pour out on us. Please bring us closer to the truth that is Jesus Christ, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension to your right side. Please help us to truly know and understand the grace you so freely give, a grace that we do not really deserve. We commit this time now to you, and we ask that Jesus would come and be present in the person of the Holy Spirit and guide us to shape us in our listening and in our understanding. We say our prayers today in the name and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen.
The first reading this morning is Proverbs 31:10-31, entitled The Wife of Noble Character. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her reading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hands, she holds the distaff and grasps a spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honour her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. The second reading is Luke 8, 1-3, and it's part of the parable of the sower. After this, Jesus travelled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household. Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. Amen, and may God bless this reading of his holy word.
I wonder if any of you have been offered some help with something at some point in your life and only to refuse the help because it made you feel uncomfortable. Imagine this. It's been a difficult month. You've only just managed to pay all your bills, like the rent or the mortgage, the council tax, the gas and the electric. Maybe you've got a car to pay for, and with that, the insurance and the fuel as well. You've had to make some cutbacks, and you've been really careful with the few pennies you have left in the bottom of your purse or your pocket. And you haven't even put any food on the table yet. And then one day, you're chatting with your friend, and you confide in them that it's been such a difficult month, and they ask you this: is there any way I can help you? How much money do you need to get through the rest of the month? Now, most of us would react in the same way, I suppose. Something like, no, honestly, I'm fine, thank you anyway, I appreciate it, but no. Deep down, you know that if you just accepted the help that you were being offered, things would be a lot better for you. But nevertheless, you refuse the support because it makes you feel uncomfortable. Perhaps you feel shame or failure. Maybe you feel like you're letting your family down. Maybe you feel like you're losing control of your life. I know how hard this can be because I've been in some difficult places myself and I've done this very same thing and it's not very nice. But what if just for a moment anyway, we could just leave that thought of failure aside and say, yes, yes, please, I'm so grateful. This will make such a difference to us and to our lives. So when we think of this action in the positive light of Scripture, we can see only the benefits to everyone involved. Because although the situation isn't quite as stark as the one I suggested, the message from the beginning of Luke chapter 8 is just the same. Today I am here to share with you the second of the series, which we have called For the Love of Three women. David and I decided that we would like to speak about three women from Scripture that perhaps we don't hear much about, but who are exemplary in the way they live out the love that Jesus tried so hard to teach the people around him, and still teaches us today through the pages of the Bible. And so the woman I'm going to talk about is called Joanna. We know very little about Joanna from Scripture, except from what we read in this very short gospel passage today, and then a little bit further on in Luke when he describes the scene at the crucifixion, because Joanna was there as well. But from these very short three verses, we can paint a picture of what Joanna was like, and even begin to understand the love that she showed Jesus and those whom he ministered to. Firstly, we know that Joanna was part of the inner circle, the entourage, the close group of disciples that followed Jesus as he proclaimed the kingdom of God. Wow, what a position to hold right there next to our Lord, being able to hear everything that he has said, being close enough to see the expression on his face, to be part of his mission, to serve and to walk beside him, to laugh, to cry, and to learn with him. And Joanna hadn't just turned up one day out of the blue thinking, you know, I'd quite like to join this man who was getting quite a following. That wasn't the case. She clearly lived a very different life prior to meeting Jesus, because we're told that she was cured of something, a disease, or being possessed by an evil spirit. Whatever it was, Jesus had brought Joanna back into the larger community, because there's no doubt that while she was sick or while she was possessed, she would have been an outcast, a real outcast to the community, and she'd have been shunned by the people around her, made to feel unclean and unworthy. So whether it was natural evil like sickness or supernatural evil like a spirit, it doesn't matter, because Jesus gave Joanna her life back, and because she was given her life back, she wasn't going to forget what Jesus had done. She was also a woman of position and some standing within the community. Joanna was the wife of Chuza, who was the manager of Herod's household, we're told. She was the wife of the one man who would have been closest to the king at every moment of the day. She would have been well known in the area, and people would definitely recognize her as she walked with Jesus and the other disciples. Joanna sounds like someone who either wasn't very concerned about what people thought in general, or she felt such loyalty and gratitude that she had no other option but to follow Jesus because of the miracle he had done in healing her. Along with the other women, Mary of Magdalene and Susanna, Joanna was helping to support the mission group and therefore the kingdom work of Jesus. And the text says that they did this out of their own means. But what does out of their own means actually mean? Were they involved in the day-to-day ministry like the men? Or were they just there to tend to the men, to look after them as they travelled away from home? Now, these are both arguments that scholars have debated over, and they could both be true or neither could be true. But what is likely is they were helping to finance in some way the mission and work of Jesus and his followers. By their own means, Scripture says, they were supporting them, which implies acts of aid. The trouble is, in the first century context in which Luke's gospel was written, the chances of women having a substantial amount of their own money is quite limited. Yes, there were examples like Lydia, the trader in purple cloth from the book of Acts, but this was still quite rare. What wasn't rare was the way in which Jesus would shatter social boundaries by the company he kept. So perhaps Joanna's husband, Chuza, Herod's household manager, remember, and very likely a well-paid individual, was well aware of what Joanna was doing. And maybe he supported her by not putting an end to what she was doing. But why? Scripture can often lead us to ask more questions, and this is certainly one of those times. Well, it's probable that Chuza would have known the Hebrew proverb that said a wife of noble character is difficult to find, and that her husband can have full confidence in her because the work that she does brings her praise at the gates of the heavenly kingdom. So perhaps Chuza thought, well, I'm not going to question this. Or perhaps Chuza was also a follower of Jesus himself, but his position at the center of the royal court demanded he not expose himself. On these matters, we'll never really know. But what's important here is that Joanna is giving selflessly and with such grace so she can support Jesus as he goes about his ministry. And she does it in a very public way as well. But here's the thing, Jesus being the Son of God, present at creation, the one who is and who was and is still to come, didn't really need to be provided for, because he came to provide for us. But despite this, Jesus allows Joanna to do this thing for him, because to deny her this would be to deny her the experience of giving a gracious love. If she hadn't done what she did, she wouldn't have been able to understand what giving graciously was. And of course it would deny us the wonderful example which she sets as a pretty minor New Testament character. Joanna is gracious in how she lives her life. She supports the mission of Jesus and those who minister alongside him, even though it could end really, really badly for her. Yet she continues to do what she can to make sure whatever it is this Jesus man has to say, it's heard by as many people as possible. We know that Joanna has already experienced that grace-filled love when Jesus healed her of her previous demons. In fact, her name itself, Joanna, literally means God is gracious. And it's this gracious love that we can extend to all those who need it, from the sick to the poor, and even to those who are bodily imprisoned by the darkness in their lives. So whether we are the giver or receiver of such generous love, we can understand what it is to experience grace right here in our earthly life. The example set by Joanna shows us that we must remember the life we are given by the Lord's death, resurrection, and ascension. That is just basic Christianity. But I think that the passage also reveals that in difficult times, and there are many of those going on around us just now, we can experience grace in the giving and the receiving of any support we might know. I pray this coming week we can all experience the fullness of grace in our giving and in our receiving. Amen.
As some of you are aware, I have the privilege of being a member of the school pastors team who help support the pupils at Elgin High School. I'm delighted to say that we have been able to start up our role again this week. The second part of the prayer today is therefore concentrated on our young people. Please join me in prayer. Father God, today we pray for people in poor countries, in countries run by harsh dictators or regimes, for refugees trying to escape in fear of their lives, willing to gamble everything in an effort to find freedom. We know that for many in the world, their problems have been magnified by the pandemic caused by coronavirus. We are acutely aware that many countries are not blessed with modern health services on which they can rely. Lord, we pray for the scientists. May they be successful in developing a vaccine, and may that vaccine be made available throughout the world. We pray for the world's leaders, faced with extremely difficult decisions, where sometimes there is no right answer without the benefit of hindsight. Lord, grant them wisdom to make the right choices, internationally, nationally, and locally. We pray for our own families, wherever they may be, and one lesson we have surely learned during lockdown is just how important our families are to us. To those whose families stay far away, we offer our support and pray for them. We pray for those known to us who are unwell, either physically or mentally. May we reach out in these testing times to surround them with our love. It is amazing how comforting a good listener can be. Hear our prayers, Lord, for those who mourn a family member or close friend. Let them be comforted. May they know your love and find inner strength from your peace. Lord, we pray for the future of our church, both nationally and here in Llanbraid. We thank everyone involved in bringing the weekly service to us in difficult times. May our nominating committee be guided by you, and may we show patience as we trust your plan for us will come to fruition. Lord, our thoughts turn now to our young people in Murray who have had their lives so suddenly disrupted. Whether they are at nursery, primary school, secondary school, college or university, we pray that they can continue their studies in as near normal conditions as possible. We pray also for all the head teachers and lecturers who are faced with exceptional circumstances but are expected to still produce results. We hope that our school pastors can form a bond of trust with our young people to be a ready, listening ear for them, on hand to lend support for any child dealing with challenging situations. May you guide our team of pastors to walk in your footsteps, Lord, to act as your disciples. We thank you, Father, that despite the restrictions imposed on our society, we can still count our many individual blessings that we take for granted. If we are honest, many of us are feeling a little battered and bruised from the pandemic, and now, more than ever, we seek your presence, Lord. Let us take comfort in the coming week from these words spoken by Jesus. Trust in God, trust also in me, and do not be afraid, for I am with you always. Amen.
As we go our different ways, I would like to share with you a piece of modern worship music which I feel describes, in some way anyway, the sense of how we come to the Lord Jesus and the grace which he gives us. We come broken and need everything and anything we can get our hands on to help fix us. And he comes to us without judging, ridicule or questioning. He just puts his hand out and gives freely without asking anything in return, except that we believe in him. He cures us of what makes us sick. He shines light where there was darkness. He doesn't need anything from us, but we can learn from those who gave everything to him.
acceptance from a good and gracious King. I'll give to you my burden as you give to me your fill me with your spirit as I sing to you this praise. You deserve the greater glory and so overcome with joy I sing.
I look forward to seeing you again next week, but in the meantime, please take a moment to be still as we close today's service with these words from Scripture. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, but it is the gift of God. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us and remain in us, now and always. Amen.